world will be settled in my mouth, in my home, in my college, in my ministry, not to you, but your word. Forever. Lord, have you through this contract not for 50 days, it's not for 20 years. It is forever. Your word will be settled. And I will not allow it to
Lord, we have come tonight. With our heart open wide, oh, let the ancient word impart. Lord, we have come tonight with our spirit open wide, oh, let your ancient word impart. Ancient word,
ancient word.
Changing me. Oh Lord, we have come tonight. Father, we have come this hour. We have come before your word. We have come before you. We have come that you may speak to us again. We have come before the word of life. The word that all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The word of life. The word that was in the beginning and made all things. Lord, we have come before the word of God. We have come before you. Father, please speak to us. Please speak to us, the oracles, divine oracles this morning. Father, we beg you, Lord, that may our spirit be impacted by your word.
Amen.
May we not just hear the letters of this word.
Amen.
May the Spirit of the Lord breathe upon it.
Amen.
May it mix with faith in our hearts.
Amen.
And at the end of tonight, we shall move from one degree of glory to another.
Amen.
Lord, the degree of glory we have experienced hitherto this time, Lord, by the reason of your word, we shall move to another level of glory.
Amen.
Our face shall be unveiled tonight.
Amen.
And the word of God, in its clarity, in its power, in its wisdom, shall move us, transcend us from where we were before it came to the level, Lord, to another level in our spirit man, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We shall be taking a short session, and we shall be looking at the greatest condition for discipleship. Amen. The greatest condition for discipleship. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll just read verse 1 and verse 2. Permit me to say that what I'll be sharing may be subject to what's the right word to use now? From the topic, the greatest condition for discipleship, may be subject to my own personal review and experience, because I believe that if any one of us would come up here to speak on this topic, you may speak on something else that may be your own greatest condition for discipleship based on your own experience. So, for me, this matter is what came to me as, and so I would say, is one of the greatest condition for discipleship. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, are we there? Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is expected, it is required in stewards that it found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, I'll be speaking on the matter of faithfulness, the greatest condition for discipleship. Faithfulness. This is what I, by my own experience and what came to my heart as I meditated on this, that is a great condition for discipleship. I believe that we all understand the concept of discipleship because it's part of what we have been learning for several years now. We are looking at this. So I see Paul speaking here. Paul said, from the ESV version, he said, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. This is how we should be regarded. And I see this verse 1 speaking of discipleship, the life of a disciple. Now, this is how a disciple should be regarded. This is the account that should be given of a disciple. That a disciple is one, a minister of Christ, and he is a steward of the mysteries of God. He is a steward, he is a servant, one who has been given the responsibility to bear the mysteries of God. Then he now said in verse 2, moreover, so then, it is expected, it is required, it is an essential requirement, condition, that this steward, this man who is a steward of the mysteries of God, who is a custodian, who is a disciple. Because when Jesus was living, he committed the word of God, the preaching of the word of God, he committed it into the hands of the disciples. He, by this, made them the custodian of the word of God. And they passed it on. Apostle Paul said to his son Timothy that, this that thou art learned of me, this thing you have received. So I received it, and I've given it to you. Commit it also. So these were custodians, and now it has come to our hands. We are also these stewards. But I realized that one condition that Paul pointed out is that moreover, is that this steward is expected to be found faithful. So I'm looking at the word faithfulness from here. And for me, I realize that it is really a condition for discipleship. Faithfulness is key for discipleship. And so permit me to then say what I understand by faithfulness. First of all, I've said that faithfulness is the basic requirement for true followership, for true discipleship. Faithfulness is a key requirement. As I see Apostle Paul speaking here, that moreover. So then, if I am going to be a custodian, a true disciple, I must be found faithful. So I'm seeing faithfulness as it is faith that is so full in someone or in something that makes me unbending and undoubting in following and obeying that thing or that person. That's how I see faithfulness as that. My faith is so full in someone. My faith is full in something to the point that it makes me unbending. It makes me undoubting as I follow such a person or as I follow such a belief. I also see that faithfulness is the ability to have faith in a person. It is the ability to have faith in a person or a pathway or a belief. It's the ability to have faith in a person, in a pathway, or a belief, and I am willing to follow that person or that pathway. I am willing to practice that belief until I am no more convinced. So it is that until my conviction is cut short in such a thing or such a person, then I am willing to follow or practice such a belief. And I believe that thus far, as we have been taught and following in discipleship, we have come to the point where we believe in the Lord Jesus. We know that there is no other way whereby a man must be saved except through Jesus. So this is what makes us evangelize. This is what makes us preach and teach the gospel. This is what makes us pray. So this is part of what discipleship has done for us. And the only reason why we will stop this, it says, except something comes to cut short our conviction. Something comes in to cut short. That's what I see as faithfulness. Praise the Lord. You remember in, I think in John 7, when Jesus told the crowd and said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall have no part in me. And then they turned away and left. And then the 12 was left to the 12. And Jesus told them and said, will you not also return? And Peter made a profound statement and said, who else? Where are we going? Who else has the word of life? That this is a man speaking out of a conviction, out of the fact that he has been convinced that this way I am going is the correct way. So this is faithfulness. This is what I see as faithfulness. So when I see that I am beginning to dwindle, for example, I'm dwindling in my prayer life, or there is a shaking, it's a fact that something is affecting my faith, something is affecting my level of belief, something is affecting my level of trust in Him that I'm following, in Jesus that I'm following. Praise the Lord. And so I wrote down 7 reasons for faithfulness. The why of faithfulness. 7 reasons. Number 1, that faithfulness is the bedrock for consistency. So one of the reasons why faithfulness is a condition for my discipleship is because faithfulness is a bedrock for consistency. And over time, our leader has been, God has been using him to speak on the matter of consistency, the matter of steadfastness. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? So for me, I see that it's a condition, because it has been part of my own challenge, the issue of being consistent with something. Start a Bible study and then halfway stop, and then for a long time no Bible study or so, start this. It's whenever such inconsistency are prevailing in my life, I need to go and check the level of my conviction again. I need to go and check my faith. I need to go and check him whom I have believed. What is happening to my faith? Because if I am still beholding him, it is that I am supposed to be moving from one degree of glory. I'm supposed to be increasing in my convictions, in my faith, and which is supposed to stir me up with strength to keep on. So once I am beginning to get weak in the days of adversity, Bible says, then is the fact that my strength is becoming small. Praise the Lord. Number two, I said that faithfulness is a catalyst for growth. Faithfulness is a catalyst, is a sponsor, is stirs growth, spiritual growth. Praise the Lord. I realize that no man grows in what he is not faithful in. Like a popular saying, is it practice makes perfection. So the more I get, I am faithful in something. He says, "Seest thou a man diligent." We looked at that. I think I quoted that scripture earlier. And it is required of the steward to be found faithful. You know, this. I'm looking at the story of the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. And I realized that the master went for many days, we don't know how long. But this man, the one that was given 5 talents, I'm seeing the fact that the ability for that 5 to grow and multiply to become double was because there was level of faithfulness in what he was doing. So when Jesus finally came, Jesus said, "Thou good and faithful." So it's because there was faithfulness, there was a faithful practice of something that he was doing that eventually brought about a doubling, an increase in that. So I'm also relating that to my spiritual growth, that my spiritual growth is also tied to my faithfulness in how much faithful I am to certain spiritual principles, certain things that are supposed to help my spiritual life grow. You see, if I am not growing spiritually, it is not a function, it is not the fault of the principles or the practices that makes men grow, but it's a function of my inconsistency in those practices. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Number three, I said that one reason I need to be faithful is that it is the evidence of the master to release himself to me. It is the evidence of the master to reveal himself to me. So God will usually hide himself from me until he sees my level of faithfulness, until he sees my level of how full is my faith in following him. God seems to hide himself until he sees that, oh, this person, Joshua, is really faithful in seeking me, then he begins to release and reveal himself to me. And he said in Matthew 7, he was speaking Matthew 7, verse 6. He said, "Give not holy things unto dogs, nor precious pearl unto swines, lest they turn back and spoil it." So we see that the attitude of inconsistency, we know that swines are easily, today, if you wash them, they easily turn again to the old dirty life again, and then you wash them. And so there's this inconsistency. Dogs can vomit, and then what they have vomited, they go back. So I'm seeing that it's something that, today I'm no longer going to do this. Today I'm going to do this. Then after a week or so, I go back. So God is looking at my faithfulness and saying, "Oh, this person, this Joshua, is not yet very faithful. So I cannot give him precious pearls, cannot release myself to him." But when God begins to see my level of faithfulness, as in which also produces consistency, God can now begin to release himself to me. Number four is that it is a means for the Lord to measure and test my conviction and love. I see that faithfulness is a condition for discipleship, because God will use it to measure and test my conviction and love. "If you love me, keep my commandments." I think that was in John 14:15, if I'm correct. "If you love me, keep my commandments." So the ability to keep his word, the ability for me to keep, and to keep something is not just for one day, one week, but I'm able to keep it. He said, "But they that endure to the end shall be saved." They that endure to the end. So we see that. So my ability to be able to be faithful in that way, in loving Jesus, in following, is a measure of, God uses that to measure my conviction and then how I love him. Number five is that it unveils my readiness to sacrifice and be a sacrifice. Faithfulness is necessary because God uses it to, praise the Lord. Faithfulness is necessary because God uses it to unveil my readiness to sacrifice and be a sacrifice. So if God wants to truly test whether I'm ready to sacrifice all for him, like Abraham, and God called him and said, "Go and sacrifice thy son." You see, that was because of a faithful heart. That was because he was full of conviction, he was full of faith in him who is following. So he was ready to give everything. So my ability to give everything and sacrifice all for the Lord is tied to faithfulness. Praise the Lord. I think I wrote down 7. Let me just share the last two and the time is up. Then from that scripture we read, he shows, if I am a good steward. Number 6 is that faithfulness is necessary because God uses it to test whether I am a good steward. And in the story of the 5 talents, Jesus said, the master said, "Thou good." And in our Bible study, Tuesday Bible study, we're looking at the fact that Jesus said, "Thou good." So he was good. We're looking at, that was what the Lord was speaking to us when in our Tuesday Bible study online. He said, "Thou good." You were, it was that he was good. It was not what he was doing that was good, but that he himself was good. And by the reason of his life being good, all he did was good. So God uses it to show whether I am a good steward, whether I'm a good servant, by being faithful. And the last thing is that, I wrote down, is that faithfulness determines how well I will use God's resources, his gifts, his talents in my hands. And the story of those 5 talents also portrayed that, is that the last servant was not faithful. He was not, because his faith in the master was not full enough, was not convincing enough that he could use that one talent. He said, I know that thou art a hard man and you want to reap where you do not sow. So his conviction about the master was not full enough. So he misused it. So if I am faithful, I will use God's resources, God's talent, God's gifts in my hands. I will use them properly. Praise the Lord. So I would like us to pray at this point and ask that the Lord will cause us to be faithful indeed. He said it is required. It is required. It's a necessary condition for a steward, for a disciple to be found faithful. To be found faithful in that which the Lord has committed into his hands. Lord, make me faithful in the name of Jesus. Lord, cause me to be faithful indeed, to be a faithful disciple.